Your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO Mason City. KGLO Farm Director Jesse Stewart here, and it is time for this week's edition of KGLO Market Talk. I caught up late yesterday afternoon with Senior Market Advisor with Stewart Peterson, Brian Doherty, out in West Bend, Wisconsin, to look at the recent round of reports from the USDA that were released on Thursday, March 31st of this year, and see how those are going to affect the market moving forward. KGLO Market Talk is brought to you by our friends at Corporate Farmer in Mason City. Find out what they can do for you at corporatefarmer.com. Now, KGLO Market Talk. Your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO Mason City. Jesse Stewart here, and it is time now for our edition of KGLO Market Talk for this week. Joining me now on the KGLO Live line from Stewart Peterson, Senior Market Advisor Brian Doherty. Brian, great to hear from you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jesse.
Well, it's great to have you back on KGLO Market Talk, and it's time to really dive in and get a look at the market trade. And really, I want to focus on the numbers that we saw come out Thursday from the USDA. Specifically, I think we need to start with corn. That acreage number came out well above pre-report expectations, and it caused some double-digit losses in corn futures on Thursday. Can you expand a little bit more and tell us about those corn numbers from USDA?
I can. To be specific, the figure was 93.6 million. The average estimate, Jesse, was 90 million, so 3.6 million acres more. And remember, when there's a report, the numbers are always relative to something, so relative to the pre-report estimate, but also the range. The range of estimates was 89 to 91 million acres. There were some out there, maybe 91.5, but suffice it to say, another USDA report outside the range of estimates, and unfortunately on the negative side for corn. Where do those numbers come from? Well, surveys, and they're conducted, not yesterday or today, but they're conducted over the month, or basically as of March 1st. Well, keep in mind, beans were bottoming on March 2nd, and corn was holding together. So beans have since rallied 60 cents, so without belaboring the point too long, you got to wonder, with the run-up in beans and corn prices now moving down, if we're not going to see these numbers vacillate a little bit, bean acreage go up and corn acreage go down from today's figures.
Well, one thing that jumped out at me quite interesting to see with the corn acres saying that 41 of 48 states planted acreage expected to be up or unchanged, and specifically they said increases of 400,000 or more compared to last year in Illinois, here in Iowa, Kansas, and North Dakota. I thought that number specifically stood out to me, that it seems like it's a nationwide thing where corn acres are going to go up.
It is, and it's a nationwide thing that when farmers are trying to work a pencil in an environment that just doesn't provide profits in corn or beans in the winter months, I think the natural tendency is to look at what crop is more dependable and what crop probably generates more revenue per acre, and it's corn. So I think that's where that wins out. I think some of the lending community may have, encouraged farmers to run those kind of numbers with corn. Remember, the last 2 years, if you look at bean yields, they've been kind of off the charts. So, what are the odds of a third year of high bean yield? So, it's hard to guess, hard to say. I wouldn't put, a lot of stock into this report. I'm not sure the market did either. We are in December corn, about 22 cents, 21 cents off the high from yesterday. But this thing could have fallen apart. It went limit lower. That didn't happen. Wheat prices rallied, lost 5 million acres there. Bean prices holding together. You got to remember, corn is a good value down at these levels for end users as well.
Talk a little bit, if you can, about the corn stocks numbers before we switch over to soybeans. Didn't really seem like there was a lot of a surprise in the corn stocks numbers that came out on Thursday.
Yeah, virtually none. I mean, you can't get much more neutral. The average estimate was $7,822,000,000, came in at $7,808,000,000. So when you're talking billions and you're only off by, 22 minus 8 would be 14 million, that's a very small variation. It's just within the statistical error of nothing. So no change there. If you might remember last year, if memory serves me correct, that was the big negative number. We had a huge stocks number that was, again, above anybody's pre-report estimate, and that kind of put the kibosh on corn for a bit. So right now you've got a stocks number that was neutral, but you got an acreage number that wasn't. You know, our farmers going to plant that much corn? Maybe so. Now we got to produce it. Now the market has to see that. And at these kind of prices, I just have a hard time thinking we're going down much from here until we really see it's there. Doesn't mean we're going to rally, but doesn't mean we need to go down anymore.
Yeah, definitely something to watch here as we go through the next couple of weeks and months ahead. And once we start getting some of that corn crop into the field and see what actually happens. Let's talk soybeans, acres. A slight drop from last year, but it seemed like everything was pretty much in line with pre-report expectations, Brian.
Yeah, the only number that stuck out on today's report that really grabbed my attention, really the only two numbers might have been the corn acreage number and then the wheat acreage number coming in well over 1.5 million more, less, than expected. Beans, Jesse, just a report that just didn't have any bite to it, no matter how you slice it, whether acreage or stocks. It just was about right on.
Yeah, and I think, and that's, we kind of saw that with Thursday's futures numbers. Really not a lot of activity there. Things held pretty neutral throughout the day and then ended up finishing about 1 to 2 higher, Brian.
Yeah, beans clawed back to positive territory. We kind of decided it wanted to shed the sort of negative atmosphere and go from negative to positive. Had nice solid close there, 8 to 9 higher. So that's consolidating nicely. Actually, the charts look a little bit friendly on wheat right now. You got a nice inverted head and shoulders formation forming, nice reversal upward today. Doesn't mean we're going up, but really, you know, you look at wheat prices, July Chicago wheat trade near 480. Well, it was trading near 480 in early January, so we've been higher, we've been lower, but hanging in there. Just the corn one, unfortunately, was the market that kind of got hit today hard. The charts look negative. It's a big blowout on the charts, new contract lows. And so you got to argue that, you know, 350 is kind of the area for corn to gravitate to right now.
Definitely very interesting. Another one, it stood out to me a little bit too, was the grain sorghum stocks going well above pre-report expectations with that as well. That one was just another interesting number scattered throughout all these reports.
Yeah, you know, that stood out to me as well. It's just another feed out there that... you know, we saw a ramp up in production last year because it paid premium the year before. We've had kind of the hangover effect of increased supplies and demand didn't keep up. 201 million bushels, average estimate is 159. So, you know, you look at that and say, well, that's not a big change in numbers. It's a huge percentage change, though. So, you know, you're talking over 25% or somewhere in that ballpark of you know, differential from expectations. So, again, sort of another negative tone for the feed grains.
You know, I think overall, though, with the reports out Thursday from USDA, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, in your opinion, especially with corn, you don't see us really going much lower from where we're at now, or no rally, really, just kind of, this may be, do you think this may be the bottom of the market, would you say, or what's your take on that?
Well, markets seem to be most bleak when the news appears to be most bleak. And so we had some pretty bleak news today. And then we step back, take a breath, and go, well, okay, we got 93.6 million acres on the books now. So that's probably our highest acreage estimate for the year. So if you think about it this way, your acreage number probably starts to narrow down after this. And consequently, until the market probably feels pretty good about how planting goes, how the crop looks, weather forecasts for pollination, some of the other, you know, key events to grow a crop. I just can't imagine there's going to be much farmer selling or hedge pressure down here. I can't imagine that end users aren't going to keep a tight eye on the weather and, you know, continually look for opportunities to pick up inventory, you know, in a market that's below the cost of production. So I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture, but I'm trying to paint a realistic picture that this news is probably old news and the market will start to focus on weather.
Well, Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson, is on with us here on KGLO Market Talk. We should probably talk to the livestock side of things quickly here before we wrap up the program for this week. Feeder cattle saw limit higher activity for the most part on Thursday. Live cattle were higher. Lean hogs slightly lower. You know, start with the cattle market. Any big news notes standing out to you there?
Well, if you look back the last 6 months, volatility, okay, so that's one thing. Two, there's kind of this tug of war between the supply side and the demand side, and you know, when we saw good wholesale product movement and at higher prices 2 weeks ago, cattle were, you know, racing upward, then they took a spill. But I think you're looking at a market that's trying to find itself, and what I mean by that is I think the worst is behind cattle, that like we saw in December when things washed out. On the other hand, competing meat supplies, some growing, not growing, but continuous concerns about world economies, those kind of things. But I'll tell you what, look for less beef imports this year, more exports. A weaker dollar will help that along. Feeders were up limit today once corn prices broke. So there's demand for feeders. I think there's a little more confidence on the feeder guys to be buying the dips. But rallies in the live market probably need to be viewed as opportunities to sell. We're not in a big hurry, though, and now June's kind of creeping back up there, but we're not in a hurry to sell June or August down that 120 area. We're more interested maybe seeing if they can't move up to closer to that 130 area where April is, and then we'll look a little more defensively.
What about the hog side of the market? Anything you're seeing there that we need to look at?
Well, I'm looking at daily supplies that appear to be ample. They you know, there's exceptions along the way due to weathers or holidays or something, but in general, you're looking at, you know, somewhere between 430,000, 435,000 hogs generally on a daily slaughter. That's too many. I think that hog industry, it enjoys low corn prices. I don't think that's scaring producers. I think the longer-term outlook scares producers, but, $85 hogs this summer, that's probably going to be it. If we can rally back up, make sure and get some hedges in place or buy some puts and sell some calls, or just buy puts, one of those three, but do something. That market's had a nice uptrend since November and starting to show signs of toppiness.
Well, Brian, before we wrap up, I know you made a comment about world economies, and that jogged something to my memory I wanted to ask you about. You know, we've been hearing some things about some political issues in South America. You know, moving forward, are we going to see anything with political issues or world economies we really need to be worrying about the next couple of weeks here in the short term anyway?
I think you just keep an eye on Brazil. But with that, what can you do about it? Well, if it looks like their currency, the real, has perhaps peaked, or it looks like it's, in a window where it might... might have some trouble. We want to certainly watch that. The real has gained on the dollar here as of late, and so that makes our beans more attractive, in part supportive for U.S. bean prices. China's, always on the back burner or front burner. It's never much out of the sight of the market, but looks like they've taken some measures to try and shore things up. I don't know. I'm glass half full on this. I think, we've gone through some tough world economic times. There's no real quick fixes other than time and, charging ahead, and countries try things, and when they catch, then we see things improve. So we're hopeful that's the case. The dollar is certainly, hanging in there in the 90s, but when you look at where the dollar is compared to where it was, Jesse, in the very tail end of November, early December, it peaked on December 2nd at 99.90, well, basically 100.51 as an index. We're down to 94.56, so that's about, we're 5%. Mm-hmm. And the low came in October, and we're not that far off the low, which was 93.80. So the dollar is in, technically it's in a downtrend, and that'll help this whole economic view for U.S. agriculture to export markets, to export product, in the export sector.
You mentioned China, then the one other bit of news came out this week. They're looking to open up their corn reserves. Any thoughts on how that's going to affect the market?
Well, the initial reaction is always, defensive or cautious, or it's another, bear headwind. I'm not sure how to address that. The market kind of yawned at it, didn't seem to, bother it at all. Now, it might have helped, maybe put traders or those in the long side of the market here run some sell stops pretty close under the market in case it was viewed negatively. But I don't know if that's going to have any big impact or not. A lot of times stuff when you get out of China, it's not old news, but it's kind of known news. And I think this has been in the works for some time. I think the big question out of China really is, they've got the majority of the world's ending stocks on hand. What kind of condition is this corn in? They don't have the storage facilities that we do here in the U.S., so I question I can question the numbers, and then I can kind of question the condition of this corn. And my guess is they're opening it up in part to get rid of this old corn. It's not very good.
Well, all great insight as always. Brian, if anyone wants to contact you or the fine folks at Stuart Peterson to talk and learn more, what's the best way?
I think the best way to contact me directly is to call our 800 number. That's 800-334-9779 and ask for extension 129. 129 will get you right into Brian. There's a couple Brians here. So 129 or Brian Doherty, either will work.
With that, Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson, Brian Doherty, thanks so much for your time here on KGLO Market Talk. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Always a pleasure.
That is Senior Market Advisor with Stuart Peterson, Brian Doherty, joining me here on KGLO Market Talk, which was pre-recorded yesterday afternoon, recapping the latest round of reports from the USDA. KGLO Market Talk is brought to you by Corporate Farmer in Mason City, your farm accounting firm. Find out what they can do for you at corporatefarmer.com. I'm Jesse Stewart reporting.